1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to read, you read with me, verses 11 through 14. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 through 14. Before we read, though, would you unite your hearts together as we seek our Lord? My Father, you have allowed us together again. All have health, strength, and a desire to come out to thy house. My Father, grant that it might be that we grow and develop as worshipers. And that we as one, hearts united, can sing to thy glory and have one desire, and that is that Christ the Lord, the mighty maker, would be honored in this place. We ask for divine help, for the spirit of wisdom and of utterance, by guidance of thy spirit, and give these hearing ears, understanding heart, and grow us in Christ, all for his glory, we pray, and in his name we ask, amen. Beginning with verse 11, 1 Corinthians 2. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, that we might know the things of God, freely given, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you know God, are learning truth, it is because he gave you seeing eyes and a heart desiring that. It does not and will never originate in a natural man. You must be born of the Spirit. The first of the week, a friend unknowingly issued a mild rebuke to me. And he still doesn't. He still doesn't know that. And I'm always grateful for any help. By birth, first birth, you and I come into the world as a helpless being. If you want to find out how helpless, read Ezekiel 16, the first few verses, talking about when you were born. Your nativity, your navel was not cut. You were not washed. You were not swaddled. There was no eye that pitied thee or had compassion on thee. But the Lord passed by and said to you, live. If he had not given you life, you would have died as you came into the world, a lost individual. You might have accomplished much in life, but it all would have been to no avail as far as eternity or God. For you to know God, truth, Christ, you had to have the Spirit of God that we might know, Paul said, the things that are freely given to us. Now, natural man, if you're here, unconverted, you have no ability to hear. None. Verse 14, the natural man, the unborn, the second time, receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know. He can't hear and he can't know, because only the Spirit of God can teach a man about Christ. Can take the word of God, then you get beyond the letter and you find a living word, the living word. Through every church in Asia Minor, all seven, Jesus said, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, implied in that statement, no one comes into the world with the ability to hear. You can assess a lot in your brain, in your mind, but you cannot hear. We do not have that ability. In that, not everybody in the church, all that have ears, let them hear. Not everybody in the church has had ears, same today. And these letters were sent only to the people of God. Only the churches there, and anyone outside the church, never received this, the word of Christ, unless they were brought in later. But less than 100 years after John writes, less than 100 now, there are no churches in Asia Minor. One of the greatest churches that ever was, Ephesus. Some of the deepest doctrines of God and of salvation that's written anywhere in all Scripture, and yet they cease to be a church in less than 100 years. If the Lord tarries, there will not be Kirith Baptist Church. We have hope that it might continue for a good many years, but one day it will not be. Now, everybody that has ears, in verse 13 here in our text, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Now, you got that? If you get anything from me, anything beneficial to your soul, then I was only the instrument. It did not originate in me. It came to you by the Spirit of God. Now, every person that God births into his family never loses that natural identity. Never. Them that are born of the flesh are flesh. That is, they will forever be acting from the old nature. Those which are born of the Spirit are spirit, and it is that that creates the warfare in you. I want to do good. Even the great apostle, the good that I would, I don't do. And that I wouldn't do as a child of God, that's what I do. So it's a lifetime of warfare. Doesn't get easier. But you learn more of the wiles of the devil and his ways. And I think it gets to the place where you know that's of the devil. That's of the Lord. But it takes growth now, children. And Moses, this was God speaking through Moses. You all have seen what the Lord did with your eyes. Following statement, yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, eyes to see, or ears to hear. You saw, but you didn't know what you saw. All that God did in bringing you out of Egypt, you all witnessed that, but you didn't get the spiritual lesson that God was trying to set before you. You saw, but the Lord didn't give you a heart to perceive, or he didn't give you eyes to see, or ears to hear. So to hear the Lord, you've got to be born again. Now, because you are a Christian sitting here this morning, and because that you have heard the Lord before, and hopefully because you came here with a special purpose and intent on hearing God again, God can take the weakest of vessels and have a word to your heart. If you came here on purpose, there's a warning, several warnings. Take heed what you hear. And then second of all, take heed how you hear. He that hath. That is the one that begins putting to use. Bought a new tool. Now the one that uses that. You've got the book, you've heard God, but he that hath not, that doesn't hold on, you lose that. Paul, give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest you let them slip. Now, folks, if none of you here had the ability to hear, I brought one in. English wasn't his language. He would not be understandable to you. He would be saying things, and they might be right what he was saying, but because we didn't have the ability to hear, we didn't know what he was saying. Now, most of you got to know a young man that was in my class up till the fourth grade. And he lost his dad that year. And his mother held him out because he was an only child. But he had a speech impediment. He's probably waited on you at the grocery store there when he was there. And you could get to the place where you could understand some of the things that he was saying, and that's because you had been around him and you listened. Now, he had a daughter that I don't know if she was in the upper junior high or lower senior high, I don't remember that, but her speech was perfect. Now, she would not have had a perfect speech if her mother had stuttered and could not speak plainly like her dad. But because her mother did, then she spoke and she was always understandable. Now, all of you here speak English. The reason you speak English is because of your birth. You grew up in a home where folk were talking using the English language. You heard and you learned to speak. But it was because of you being born in the home that you were. And you could hear. Therefore, hearing, you could talk. Now, sometimes mom might have had to have gotten your attention where you would hear, but you could hear. A lot of little fellas get away with, "Well, I never heard you say that." And some are so persuasive that the moms will begin doubting, "Did I really say that to him?" Now, you did not attend school to learn how to speak. None of you. You didn't attend school to learn how to hear. All of you were born with those two faculties, ears and a tongue. And so you grew up in a home where all you heard were words in English. And you learned to talk. Now, okay, you went to school, but it wasn't to learn how to speak. It was to learn how to speak correctly. And to speak correctly, you've got to hear. Israel was to destroy every nation in the land of Canaan, for God would not have them intermingling with other people. No, if your sons marry their daughters or their daughters marry your sons, then the home is not going to be right. Now, there are a couple of verses, and I've mentioned them to you, but if you go back to the last chapter of Nehemiah, it's not that hard to find now. Just go back from Psalms, three books. Nehemiah, the last chapter. Beginning with verse 23. All right, everybody's got it. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. Now here's the problem. You got two parents speaking a different language, and the children never learn how to speak. Verse 24, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. Now, if you want to get that into the New Testament, it is that if you marry, you marry a believer. You can't have two voices in the home. One voice. Not one of you serving God and the other serving Baal. It doesn't work out for you and your children. Now, even to you, a true believer, do not think that because the Lord might have a word for you today or had one for you last week, that automatically will be the next time you gather here that the Lord will have a word for you. If you got a heart that's not prepared, then you're not going to hear what God the Spirit saith to the churches. So every time, with intent of heart, Lord, do you have something to say to me this day? Well, Jeremiah, my word, I can't. All the minor prophets, break up your fallow ground. Heart that is not prepared and broken up by the Spirit of God, that through prayer, diligently seeking the Lord, you cannot savingly receive the truth. Well, here's the complaint, and I mentioned it to you last week. I just don't understand the preacher. Well, is it always the preacher's fault? Do I have hearing ears? Did I come on purpose to hear? To receive from God, to render back to God thanksgiving because He had a word for me. Once again, I've used this illustration, but I will again. Your grandfather, a multi-millionaire, and you being one of the grandchildren, you've heard that he left all the grandchildren a good portion of what he owned. And so a month after the funeral, you've been told to meet in the lawyer's office. And there he begins reading the will of your grandfather. And you'd be sitting there, all ears, anxiously waiting for the lawyer to get through with all the legal terms even as boring as that was, you remained alert and attentive to that voice. If only we could do God that way. That I could receive, and that I count the words of God to my heart greater riches than this old world ever had or has. It, the book, was precious to me. To think that you will receive because you showed up here is not true. And to think that you will receive just because you showed up here, you've got a high opinion of yourself. And God owes none of us anything. And to believe differently than that, or from that, makes others to know you as yet do not know who you really are, what you really are. And Jesus got through, and he turned his head toward his Father. Matthew 11:25, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou has hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. What's the attitude of a little one? They want your attention. And if they get your attention, they're going to listen. Who knows what you might have for them? God can as easily shut our eyes as he can open them. And if our opinion of ourselves doesn't line up with the scripture teaching about us, then we're not going to hear God. Now, another caution in hearing, you might have received a good word to your heart. Yet, if you do not stay on guard, within a few minutes, another thought will fly across your mind. You can't help that. But where we mess up is that we take the thought down and we begin analyzing it and dissecting it, and we end up 100 miles down the road from where our mind was with that thought to begin with. So you've got to be a guarded person sitting here. I received this also from a friend. A woman came up to a preacher after he had finished and said to him, I think it was britches, or I may have it vice versa. You use the word pants, and around here the proper word is britches. He said, ma'am, thank you for that. Now what did I say just before I said pants? She said, I don't know. Well, what did I say after I said pants? She said, I don't know. He said, ma'am, it sure is a good thing that I used the word pants, or you wouldn't have heard anything today. You see how we are? My heart is fixed. Psalm 57 is prepared. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing praises and give praise to thy name. Now one last, Matthew 13. I'm sorry, Matthew 16. I got these backwards. Matthew 16 first. And I take the word last back. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that which you've just stated, that which my Father revealed to you, that which in your flesh you could not have received it. But my Father made you to know upon what you just testified here, this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now few can rightly handle praise. And you have to be careful when someone has a good word to speak to you. You can be appreciative, but be careful. They might honestly have seen that in you. And what they saw in you was a blessing and a help to them. But don't linger there. If somebody has something good to say, accept it, receive it with thanksgiving, and move on. In the same context of telling Simon, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church. Look down to verse 22 and 23. Here's where my church is going to be built, upon the revelation of God He's given to you. And then he begins talking about his death. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And we all cringe a little bit right there at a man that would dare do that to God. Now we wouldn't. But we might. Peter took him, rebuked him. This is the Son of God. This is the Word. This is truth. I am the way, the truth. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be. Now the same man that said a little bit before, what you just said, Peter, that's where my church is going to be built. That rock. And verse 23, and he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. A good word spoken It might have been in your private reading. It might have been in your closet that there was a good word that came to your heart. Receive with thanksgiving to him that gave it, and walk out humbly, knowing who you are in yourself. I'm going to ask you to turn Matthew 13 to one last place. Now, you young folk that are having trouble hearing, then you got to know that hearing comes from the Lord. And never a preacher. God might use the old ram's horn to warn Israel. He might use the old preacher. But ultimately, if you ever get anything, it comes from God. Matthew 13. And this is you being careful with what you receive. Verse 4. This is the parable that the Lord Jesus begins. And when he sowed seed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. As two would-be hearers, the first one, the Word of God, had no place in his heart or her heart. They might have been into service, they might have heard, they might have listened naturally, but they didn't take care of what they received, the seed that they received, and they walk out and it's gone. It is amazing how quickly birds of prey gather around even the children of God and snatch from you what you just received. Or you might be the cause of it being taken from another person's heart. Wayside. Got no heart to hear. But the stony ground hearers, they heard. Now, I said the next page, but it's not. The disciples came to the Lord and said, Master, why are you speaking in parables? Why don't you speak plainly? And Jesus said, because it is given unto you to know, but unto them it is not given. I'm speaking the way I did because it was only for you. Have you ever had an opportunity to bring up the Lord to a person? And within just a matter of seconds, you knew they're not hearing a thing I said. No ears to hear. You might even get so far as to tell them about Christ, the cross, the new birth, the only way into heaven. They might, with respect to you, listen, but it's gone. very, very quickly. Now, he takes the disciples from the multitude. In verse 19, he began explaining what it was. Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, that could be you here. No interest in eternal life. No interest in even being here, but you are obligated because of parents. He understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. I long for the day when once again I can see true conviction. That I can find someone that God is seriously dealing with. Wouldn't you like to help somebody on their path to hell? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to see God's soul work in their heart, that they anxiously received what you had to tell them? But we are a busy society. We are so caught up in things, activity, and you young folks, it's unreal what all is available to you. All right, I got through. Verse 20. But he that received the seed in the stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy. That's what I need. That's this hearer. I am so glad that I was there that day. I needed that. It was something that my heart, it just fell in my heart and seemed to latch on to me. That's a stony ground hearer. With joy receives it. But verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. You know those? Could you be a stony ground? I don't know. Could I? Well, I've got to continue. Folk, it won't be long after the Lord might have a word for you, and you were so glad that you heard, and you intend on, when I get home, I'm going to find me a place where nobody is. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to the Lord. And you get home, and that's 20 minutes away, 10 minutes away. You think, no, I'll wait. I'll wait till tonight. Everyone's in the bed. All are asleep, and I'll have plenty of time to myself. Night gets there, and all this time, that which was a joy to you that morning has been fading away. If the birds didn't first get it, then a friend, activity, politics, government, the evil days, and your mind will settle down on some of these things, one of these things. And when those topics begin to come up in your mind, everything that you received and thought, that's the best news that I've ever received from one preaching or teaching truth. The best news. Laughter. Jokes. Even if the word has pierced the heart of one. That conviction is soon lost. Lose it in laughter, putting it off, waiting. Well, I intended on doing it when I got home. I intended on doing it that night. I intended on doing it the next day. And it just fades way away. And folks, if there was such a thing as Holy Spirit conviction, if where eternity was pressed so deeply upon a heart that that person couldn't get rid of it, eternity, as you leave this old world, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie, Solomon said. As you leave this old world, that is the moment that you will forever be in, except add to it the torments of all that would not obey God or submit to His truth. If we had the Spirit of God working where men and women, boys and girls found out deeper than in their head that I'm a sinner, and if I die, I am forever in that moment of total agony and anguish. And your mind will be like the old record player. That keeps on and on and on. You could not find rest until you found a place where you could honestly and actually talk to the God that created everything. We don't have it, young folks. We just don't have it. Now, if you came and you sat down for a particular purpose, and you came to do that so that you could hear intently. But you know what, folks? That doesn't happen in our day. Name a place where there is evangelism. B. Does anybody know somewhere where we all might could travel, where there is a great work of the Spirit of God taking place? You don't know. I don't know. Do I know of a church where folks are brought to actual dealings with an eternal God? There's a lot, folk, in hearing. And the greatest thing in hearing is your eternal soul. All I can tell you is, if there's just a little spark ignited in your heart, don't ignore that. Be obedient and do what you think the Lord would have you do. These are desperate days. They are wicked days. Evangelism in the world, worldwide, it's over with. If you want to see afresh and anew our day, read the 9th chapter of Revelation. When the bottomless pit is opened and there come out all these demonic spirits, but they're just men, and now women in the pulpits preaching a gospel that God never gave. And Satan, Revelation 20, has been loosed. I don't know how far into the little season that we are in, but we are there. Don't linger outside, folks. Get in on this. Hear God. Well, an old preacher's voice, it's not sharp anymore. It's not clear anymore. Oh, as I told you, God can take the horn of an old ram. And one on the other end can make a sound to be heard to warning. Flee the wrath that is to come. If ever you get in that place, I assure you this, if there's any way possible, I'll be around. That is, if you don't put it off too long. Find Christ. Find repentance. Flee from the wrath to come.